Chuck, you made an interesting comment at the end of the last segment. Can you elaborate on what you're saying?
Well, so we have to back up and kind of look at how hospitals and doctors and healthcare entities bill. So, for example, we typically, our bill that we give across the board is usually about three times higher than that of what we expect to get paid. So, for example, you see a patient in the office and you expect to get paid $100. Well, your bill is going to be about four times that so that you catch all of the insurances. And so you have to realize that, first of all, the bills, like, for example, when you get a bill from the hospital, I mean, you have surgery. It's going to be a $25,000 bill, even for an outpatient, say, gallbladder or appendix surgery. I mean, it's going to be this crazy bill. The hospital never expects to get paid $25,000 for surgery. It's a pie-in-the-sky kind of bill. I kind of describe it, you know, when you go to the, if you've ever been to a market in Mexico or another country, you know, there's a lot of bartering and negotiation going on. So this pie, you have this pie-in-the-sky bill. There is no transparent pricing. There's no way that a patient can truly know how much the hospital is getting paid. I mean, you have to look through all the paperwork, and it's so complicated. So first of all, understanding that about why we do what we do, and the insurance companies and the system have kind of moved it in that direction. So take, for example, your person who has no insurance, and they need to have emergency surgery. Well, they get billed that $25,000 bill, and they're on the hook for that. Because once again, by law, hospitals can't change, you know, hospitals can't change the pricing for that. So it's really complicated, and it's kind of one of those laws that, in a sense, is good because there are doctors and there are hospitals that take advantage of people and they charge one patient a different price, you know, which is not ethical. But on the other hand, doctors have no incentive to help people who are uninsured. And that's kind of one of the challenges that we have now. I mean, I had a patient come in my office a month ago with a locally advanced colon cancer, no insurance. He made too much money to get Medicaid, and he couldn't afford Obamacare. Once again, Obamacare was about $900 a month and about a $10,000 deductible. And so, you know, I think one of the things that we did for him is we were able to charge him something that was really, you know, pretty reasonable. And it was less than what, you know, insurance or Medicare or Obamacare or whatever would have paid. And I think that's where we need to go in our country. We need to have more transparent pricing and give doctors more freedom and more incentive to be able to take care of patients.
Jimmy, I want to ask you a question then. This is directly related to what's going on in the U.S. right now in terms of a very disruptive society. I believe that the Chinese government has directly attacked the United States, and the weapon being the medical system in our country right now. I mean, what better place to really undermine the direction of a country than in an area that deals with something like personal sickness, personal death, et cetera, et cetera. You got a comment on that, Jim?
Well, we know from, and that's one of the, I will say, one of the lights that came out of this COVID crisis, we understand where our pharmaceuticals were primarily made in China, that we've offshored that capability over the last 20 years since China entered the WTO. And that really put us in a situation both with the actual pharmaceuticals, but also with PPE and a number of areas where our medical system depends on a Chinese supply system. And of course, the quality of that is questionable. The impact and the influence is unbelievable. And we now have major global corporations that are striving to protect their financial interests by working with China, while at the same time, maybe we're not getting the care and we don't have the capacity to deal with a major crisis. That was very clear. What we would see, what I ideally hope the light that might shine out of this is, okay, we need to get back to our own independent capabilities here and maybe shut down a little bit of that, you know, that global dependence. Not that there's great opportunity, but at the same time, you have an authoritarian leadership there that really is working towards dominating regional and global markets. And ultimately, we are competing with them, and if not enemies with them, because of their ideologies and, that communist control. And I think we're facing the reality of that situation. I think it's incredibly dangerous. It spreads across to every aspect of our supply chain, our minerals, our steel, aluminum, a number of areas that we critically need in order to protect our own interests and Western values. And I think that pressure's very, very damaging. And this COVID crisis has made that very clear. Now the question is, who's going to, from this election, the most important one I think that we've had in my lifetime, the decision of where do you go? Do you open that spigot back up with China through corruption and global power, or do you look at the United States as, hey, it needs to focus on, America first?
Chuck, what do you think, America first or the world first?
Well, I think it should be America first. I do think that Americans do need to wake up to the realities of kind of what's going on. One of the challenges that we have as United States is that, we should lead by example, with other countries. It is a global economy, and we do have to interact with Russia and China and all these other places. But I do think that the pendulum needs to swing to the point so that we are able to take care of ourselves. And I think Jim was right. I mean, one of the big things that the COVID crisis has brought out is the fact that, man, we were so over-dependent upon China that, we couldn't, supply, our own needs here in the United States. And, so much of that outsourcing has been done because, because they can make things so much cheaper over there, once again. So I think one of the things that Trump has done is maybe decreased some of those regulations in the United States and allowed us to maybe swing that pendulum back a little more. Once again, quality control is something that's huge, especially in healthcare. And the quality of some of those products in China is questionable. One of the big issues is, what do we do with drug companies? And, once again, drug companies are out to make a living, and they're out to make a profit, not only for themselves, but for their stockholders. But also thinking about the fact of the liability of making drugs in the United States. I mean, every time you turn on the TV, there's, 1-800-BAD-DRUG. And so, our companies have to deal with these kind of issues, which they don't have to deal with in China.
You guys have only got about 2 minutes left here. Not even that. I got about a minute and a quarter left here. I want to get an opinion from both of you. Let's start with you, Jimmy. Jimmy, who's going to be the president of the United States 2 weeks from today?
So I'm fairly confident that Donald Trump's going to win this. And the reason why is because there's a large number of people out there that won't identify themselves as Trump supporters because of the intimidation and fear that's happening out there. And I think that's the core reason why people are going to reelect him. I think it's because they're tired of being told what to think, what to believe, and what to do. And I truly believe that Americans still love this nation, and they're going to go ahead and express that on November 3rd.
How about you, Dr. Page?
Well, I sure hope Trump wins. The worldview that's presented by Joe Biden and the rest of the liberal Democrats it scares me. And in particular, what's going to happen to health care in the next, 5 to 10 years if we do move to an expansion of Obamacare. It scares me.
Well, I got to tell you, I think Obamacare, interestingly enough, his legacy is going to be a very negative impact on the medical industry. Gentlemen, thank you so much, both of you. You folks out there, just remember one thing: vote, and vote in the direction that you really want to see this country go. This is one of the most important elections that we have had in a very long time.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.